Welcome to the May 30th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, The Unfinished Business of Truth. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to College Park. This morning it's good to see all of you. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend and are having a great Sunday so far. It's 11 o'clock now, but already in the walls of this church this morning, there's been worship in Smith Hall. There's been fellowship. There's been Bible study. And now we gather for corporate worship together here in God's house. It's good to be here today. You may notice that there are not many children here today. Our children are at children's camp this weekend. They left on Friday, and they're at Camp Canoga with Jeff and with youth volunteers and adult volunteers, and they're having a great weekend for their traditional Memorial Day weekend children's camp. So Jeff certainly wanted to send his greetings. Before we head into worship, a couple of brief words of announcement and to let you know about what's going on. First, for this week, there will be no evening activities, choir or youth or otherwise, tonight. Hope you have some wonderful family time together today and tomorrow. Wednesday night is our last family night, regular scheduled school year family night. Next week is the end of school, so there will be no Wednesday night activities on Wednesday night, June the 9th, I believe that is. And then on June the 16th, we're going to start our summer series, and that will be in Smith Hall. It's called The Ten. We're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments and some video series based out of that. And just like we have done the last couple of summers, every week we're going to have something in addition to our Bible study and video series and discussion. And then we're going to start off with a hot dog cookout on Wednesday night, June the 16th. So please plan to be with us on Wednesday nights and invite anyone you'd like to come. Also, next Sunday is Graduate Sunday, where we're going to recognize our high school, college, and postgraduate new graduates. And if you are a graduate or if you're a family member of a graduate and you think that graduate may not have given their information, please plan to touch base with Jeff here in the next couple of days so that we can be prepared for next week. You'll see the remainder of the weekly schedule on the back of your order of worship and in the inset of your order of worship, some other announcements coming up over the next few weeks. Mitch.
Good morning. The Facility Update Committee would like to give you a report on the status of the renovation of the education building, the gymnasium, and the connecting lobby. We heard you loud and clear when you stated you were ready to begin the renovations to the education building. The Facility Update Committee felt that if the church started the education building renovation without completing our given assignment, which was to complete the drawings, get the pricing for the entire project, which was the gymnasium and connecting lobby, as well as renovations to Smith Hall, that we might not ever complete our task. This is where God got tired of watching us try and do it on our own and threw Earl Blink our way. He suggested that we look at another construction method called design build. It's a process where the plans come along with the bidding process as well as during the design phase. And in this process, the architectural plans and the fees are included in the contractor's bid. As a result of pursuing the design build method for the addition, we now have bids from contractors for both the education wing and the addition, as well as the funds to begin the renovation for the preschool level of the education building. We've reviewed the bids for the education building and have selected a contractor. We've asked them to draw up the contract, and in the meantime, the Sunday School Council has been working on plans to relocate any of the affected classrooms. It's on the main level is where we're planning on starting the preschool hall. And we hope that you'll rejoice with us in the fact that if we're willing to pay attention, God provides our path. As Raymond's comments in the newsletter detailed, we plan to update you often during this process. You'll begin seeing information in the highlights and the bulletins, and we'll give you updates as we progress with the project. Please be in prayer for the successful completion of this project and about your contributions towards it. Thank you.
We really do appreciate the work of the Facility Update Committee. They just work and work and work and work, trying to find a way to listen to everyone and try to find a way to accommodate all the wishes of the congregation. Of course, it's not possible, but they're not all of them, but they're trying to hear and see what you want to do and how you want to proceed with it. So we appreciate your work, Mitch. Appreciate that update. I want to give you kind of an update on Mountain Outreach also. The funding for our summer project in Williamsburg, Kentucky. Again, we'll be leaving on Sunday, July 4th. We'll have a commissioning service that Sunday morning early, and then have Sunday school, and we'll not have the 11 o'clock service. We'll do it early that morning and give an opportunity for those that are getting on the road to go ahead and get on the road. And we've done that the last several years, and that's worked really well. So we'll do that. I want to give you an update on Roger's behalf on the funding for it. As of this morning, I guess right now, as of right now after the Sunday school hour, is that accurate? Okay. As of right now, we have $9,274.40. So we've got a little work to do. We got about a month to get the rest of this funding together, but I think our goal is $26,000. So we've got a little work to do there, but we appreciate those that have already given, and we'll give to that. So that's one way to give to this ministry opportunity. Let me give you another way that you can give. Tuesday is the work day at the bus. So we're trying to get things sorted out and documented, what's there, what needs to go in, and that type of thing. So if you can help with that, if you'd contact Don Wilson or Roger, either one, and let them know that you'll be there to kind of help, and they can give you the details on time and that type of thing, or if you can tell them what hours maybe you could be available to help on Tuesday, that's the work day. Also, if you're wondering about giving to the fund, Roger has told me that this week he and Melba both had a birthday. So if you're really stumped about what to get them for their birthday present, you could just give a gift to Mountain Outreach in their honor. Is that right? Okay. He said that would be permissible. He would allow you to do that. So anyway, we appreciate that. I know that you'll give to this ministry. It's an important ministry, an important part of our church life. And with that in mind, I do need to give you an update in terms of the project overall. We found out several weeks ago now that the college was having some financial issues in terms of their funding of this project. They do some funding on their end in terms of site prep and all that other. And so what they've done is they've spoken and they've requested that the groups that come seek out other opportunities. That will kind of give them a chance to kind of scale back a little bit and meet the financial needs of the project that they have going on. So they've asked us and others to kind of see if we have other options in terms of this type of ministry. So we've been pursuing that and have found what we think is a pretty good option in terms of doing the same type of work, but a lot closer to home. So we just want to let you know that as of now, this was our last year of going to Kentucky to do the project. We'll be kind of moving it closer to home perhaps even our own state. We find some place that we can do this, but we will not be going from this point forward. This will be our last year. So for those of you that may be saying, "Boy, I wish I could have gone to that. This is your year. So go ahead and sign up, because if you want to go, this is probably the last year we'll be able to go to Kentucky. We'll continue the summer mission projects, and it'll be projects very similar to what we've done in the past, but it just won't be in that city, in that particular county, and working with that particular organization. We're very thankful for the years we've had there. We understand, in terms of the financial cutbacks, we understand all of that, so we're one of those groups that we feel like we're agile enough, we can move quickly and find another place of service. So please be praying for us as we continue to pursue those options and see where we're going to go from here. But we're excited about going back for another year and celebrating in the mountains of Kentucky, and hope you'll go with us. Thank you.
This is my new purple bag because it matches my outfit. Well, not exactly, but Now, a reminder for my children's ministry council asked me if I would give a reminder to children and parents that these kids' packs are located both at the back of the sanctuary and on the sides. They're in some baskets, and kids and parents, you're welcome to take these each week. They include some crayons, but they include a children's bulletin that's really neat that shows kind of the message and what the children are working on and talking about. And they wanted me to remind you that those are there so that you know to take advantage of them. Mary.
Very briefly, I wanted to share with you, for those of you who may not have noticed in the newsletter, not that nobody ever misses something in the newsletter, that we do have a new Sunday school class starting this coming next Sunday, June the 6th, and that is a class for newlyweds, young couples who may have very, very small children, anyway, and wanted to let you know that that is going to be downstairs. As you come down the stairs, it'll be straight across the hall right there as you come down the stairs. Joseph and Melanie Alexander will be teaching that. And if that is you, if you fit that, or if you know someone who does, pass the word along. And they would love to see you next week on their first week.
Thanks, Mary. I'd like to say a special word of welcome to visitors that may be with us this morning. Whatever brought you here this morning, thank you for joining us for worship. We're glad to have you here. We have some information that we'd like to share with you, and as the ushers head back up the aisles, if you would just raise your hand to get their attention so that they can give you a packet of information on our church. We'd love to share that with you. Also, I didn't mention this earlier, but for everyone, pew pads are located on the end of each aisle, and if you would just complete the pew pad and pass it down, that would be very helpful. We'd like to have a record of your attendance. But to all visitors, a special welcome, and we hope that you'll find this a warm and inviting place, but most of all, hope that you'll find this a meaningful place to worship today. Thank you for being with us. As you know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and you'll see printed in your order of worship a Memorial Day observance. It has become a tradition at College Park to take time on the Sunday before Memorial Day to recognize and observe this special holiday and what it stands for and means for us and our country. Memorial Day represents a day of national reverence and awareness, honoring Americans who lost their lives in active military duty, defending our nation and its core values of freedom and democracy. As is written in the 2000 presidential resolution regarding Memorial Day is, quote, a time to pause and consider the true meaning of the holiday, as well as the sacrifice made by those we honor. A common misconception is that Memorial Day is designed to honor anyone who has died. In fact, other days are set aside to honor those who have died, including All Saints Day, which we recognize here at College Park every November. Memorial Day is set aside specifically to honor those who lost their lives in active military duty serving our country. And Memorial Day is a long-standing tradition. It has been a federally observed Monday holiday only since 1971, but it has been celebrated since the 1860s. In 1868, flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. We actually recently found out we had a group that went here from the church down to Mark Matthews' wedding in Columbus, Mississippi, the first weekend of this month. And they learned while they were down there that Columbus, Mississippi claims, and this is confirmed by the Library of Congress, that they are the first place in America that celebrated Memorial Day with placing of flowers on the graves of soldiers. And as was told to our group when they were down there visiting Columbus, that someone had the idea that they could honor the soldiers who had died by placing flowers in their graves. And they started to do so on the graves of Confederate soldiers. Someone else asked, well, what about the Union soldiers? And then it was decided we should honor both the Confederate and the Union soldiers, both of whom fought for what they believed in. So that's what happened in Columbus, Mississippi, sometime in the 1860s, even before it was celebrated at Arlington National Cemetery. In the years since the 1860s, other traditions have been started, some of which you've probably read about in the paper the last couple of days or seen on TV. I'd like to mention three specific traditions. First, this past Thursday, as has been their custom since the 1950s, the 3rd U.S. Infantry placed American flags on the graves of the over 265,000 graves of U.S. soldiers at Arlington Cemetery. One of our own, Jamie Keltner, who served in the U.S. Army, has assisted with placement of those flags in the past, and I was touched a couple of years ago to hear Jamie talk about the pride and honor which these servicemen performed that task in doing this. And if you've not seen pictures of this, you really should go online and see, because it's just awe-inspiring to see the pictures of these graves over all the hillsides at Arlington, all the graves, most of which have a cross adorned on top of the marker with flags as far as the eye can see. It's just it's a pretty fantastic sight. Also, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, there's the National Moment of Remembrance, where all Americans are encouraged to take a moment to pause and reflect on the meaning of Memorial Day. And also, a third tradition is a tradition of flying the American flag at half-mast from dawn until noon tomorrow. So as with the Moment of Remembrance, this is another simple but meaningful way that we can all celebrate the holiday and what it stands for. Memorial Day is truly about honoring those who gave their lives for our nation. It's so easy sometimes for us to forget where we are and how blessed we are in this great country, to the freedom to do what we would like, to believe what we would like, to worship as we would like, and all the benefits of democracy. So honoring this National Day of Remembrance is a unifying way to commemorate our history and all those who played such an important part of it. You'll see printed in your order of worship a recognition of foreign war service. It is our tradition that in order to honor those who gave their lives in active military service, that we will do so by honoring the veterans who served alongside them in foreign conflict. I will be mentioning the places of service in the foreign conflict. And as I mentioned those places of service, if you would, veterans who serve, please stand and be recognized. Also, for any immediate family members of anyone who may have lost a life in active military duty, please certainly feel free to stand and honor your family member. And congregation, please hold your applause until all the veterans are standing. World War II. Korean War. Vietnam War. Grenada. Panama. Persian Gulf War. Somalia. The war in Afghanistan. The war in Iraq. Any other foreign conflicts or interventions that I may have omitted. And also, we want to recognize the members of our church family who are currently serving in the military. Peter Heller in the U.S. Army. Brent Patterson in the U.S. Army, Corey Hendricks in the U.S. Coast Guard, and J.J. Gray in the U.S. Air Force. Veterans, on behalf of all of us, your friends, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, your parents, your church family, thank you.
We also know that a day like today is bittersweet for those who don't have closure, who do not know where their loved ones are, do not know the extent of their injuries, because they're either a prisoner of war that is unaccounted for, or they're missing in action, enlisted accordingly. We want to remember them as well, because for those of you who've lost loved ones, you know that closure is difficult enough when you do know the circumstances. It's even more difficult when you're not aware of those circumstances. So we want to remember all of those who were prisoners of war and are now still listed as missing in action. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we know that you know what it's like to lose a son. Father, we also know that you care deeply about our hurts and our needs. And so as we honor the lives of those who've given their lives freely, and also as we remember their service and their sacrifice to our country. Father, we are thankful. We truly are. We are blessed to live in a country that enjoys freedoms unlike probably any other civilization on earth. And help us not to take it for granted. Help us to understand we are truly free in Christ. But we're also free in a civilization sense. And help us to make the most of that. To use the freedoms that we've been given to tell others about Christ and His love and the nature of His sacrifice. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask. Amen. The 23rd Psalm has often been called the soldier's prayer, and for good reason. It's a psalm that talks about the Lord guiding us, walking with us, being with us as we go to unknown circumstances. And so I would like to read that this morning as the soldier's prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Lord, we come to You this morning knowing that we are completely unworthy. Lord, that we forget the sacrifices made for us. Lord, that we forget to live out our freedom. Lord, not just the freedom that was given by those who died in service, Lord, but the freedom that You give us. Lord, so often we take it for granted. Lord, so often we abuse that freedom. Lord, we come to this place this morning knowing that You want to remind us. Lord, You want to renew us. Lord, you want us to take that freedom that you've given us and to proclaim it to all who will hear. And so, Lord, we welcome you here with us this morning, Lord. Lord, let your Spirit speak to us. And Lord, help us to know what we should do with the freedom that you've given to us. Let us live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture text for this morning comes first from the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter of Proverbs, including verses 1 through 4, and then I'll continue beginning at verse 22. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. I'll be reading from the New International Version. From Proverbs 8, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters could not overstep his command. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. And from the New Testament in the book of Romans, the fifth chapter of Romans, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He loved and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fly this final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know trust because He lives.
Amen. As we enter a time of prayer, I want to let you know that on Monday at Monday morning at Brook Ridge, one of our dear friends, Dr. Leroy Parker, passed away. And we had a nice service, graveside service yesterday, but there's a memorial service today at 3 o'clock in Greensboro, Friendly Avenue Baptist Church, where he pastored for about 30 years. So please keep Sarah and the Parker family in your prayers. And will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, thank you for that wonderful gift of music and those familiar words and that familiar hymn that we love so much. Because He lives, this is all not a waste of time in this world, Lord. And there's meaning in our lives. There's a reason to get up in the morning, even when we don't feel very good. There's a reason to keep on going, even when things have gotten us down. And even when physically or spiritually or emotionally or mentally we're hurting, we're not at our best, and we don't feel the strength that we want to feel. For today, there is a reason to press on, and it is because He lives. And Lord, thank you for all the big and small reminders every day and every week of why we are here and who you represent in our lives. Lord, thank you that we can celebrate when a friend has lived a life of 95 years. And dies, that we can celebrate because there is life beyond the grave. And the greatest is still to come because the greatest gift of all is eternal life in you, presence with you in your kingdom. And we thank you that you've accepted Leroy there. We thank you for the way that you watch over us every day, the way that you continue to hold true to your promise that you will love us and that you will be present from us. That you will not leave us or forsake us. And that it is up to us to accept that gift and live in a way to honor you. We thank you that there's something to celebrate for our children who are learning about you and learning about what it means to love Jesus. We thank you that we can celebrate for new believers who at whatever point it is in their lives learn about Christ and learn about a personal relationship and how it can really change who we are and change the meaning of our lives and the purpose for which we're living every day. Lord, thank you for all the reasons we have to celebrate, which all come down to a simple explanation. Because He lives and lives for us and has died for our sins, that the mistakes that we make every day and the wrongs that we commit, the anger that we show, the jealousy and the pride and the spite and the sinfulness that we have is not the end of the story. But because He lives, there is celebration beyond mistakes, celebration beyond the grave, and celebration every day for lives that you have created in your image. Lord, thank you for all the things you do for each of us. I lift everyone here up to you in prayer and all the things that we're dealing with, simple and complex, big and small. We lift up our friends and fellow believers who are not here with us this morning, wherever they may be, whether hurting physically or whether traveling, we lift them up to you. And Lord, we lift up this community that we're in and all the people around us. We lift up this community to you in your name. We ask that you help direct us as a church, that we would be a people gathered in your name, sent in your name to serve the local community, to bring the word and the message of Jesus Christ to everyone. No matter where they are in life, no matter what we may look like, what we may think, the way we may act, that the message is still the same. Help us to take that important gospel message to others. Lord, for all these many blessings and because He lives, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you in worship this morning. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings you have bestowed on this congregation and for the many leaders and our staff. We thank you for the youth and the service they gave last week. And thank you for leaders that lead these so they can perform like that. Be with our sick, comfort them as only you can do. And on this weekend of celebrating Memorial Day, would you especially thankful for all those who have served, not only those who have given their lives, but who have served in the service to keep our country free. Now, we ask you to bless this offering to your service. We ask in your Son's name. Amen.
I personally enjoy tremendously hearing a good farewell speech. You know, if they're, no, it's not a hint, I'm not, they're like, oh, Woody. No, I really enjoy hearing farewell speeches because a lot of times you find out things about people that you never knew, but they kind of come out in farewell speeches. And there's one I like in particular, and that comes from John's Gospel. And it's chapters 13 through 17. And in these chapters, it's kind of Jesus' farewell speech to his followers. And he does several things in this speech. I'm going to summarize basically three or four chapters here by giving you 3 points here. He summarizes his teachings. He says, here's what we've been working on. Here's some things that we've discovered. So he summarizes his key teachings to them. Second of all, he empowers his disciples by calling them friends. There is a lot of power in addressing someone as friend. And that's what he does. Third, he promises that God will send them the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth to guide them. And then he prays for his friends and he prays for the world. And Jesus' conversation with his friends is an important moment. It's an important moment because he helps the disciples to remember a lot of things. He helps them to remember the good times. Now, this is not in Scripture, but if you're sitting there and kind of off the record, you're talking about things, the experiences you've had, things that you've learned, I would imagine, I mean, the God I serve, Jesus had a good time. He enjoyed being with people. The guys he hung out with, they were pretty salty guys. I mean, they probably had a good time. And I can just imagine the conversation going to the point where they were talking about how they learned that he had control over the wind and the waves. And Jesus saying, yeah, guys, remember how that happened? You know, I came walking across the water. Or I calmed the storm. I calmed the storm because y'all were in there screaming like girls. And you know, and Peter said, it wasn't me, Lord. It was Matthew. You know, I mean, you see how it all goes. And he's teaching them, reminding them of the things that he's taught them. And he's recalling the good times with them, the experiences they've shared, the joys that they've experienced together. And then he goes on to talk about the significance of their ministry together. And he entrusts them to carry on that ministry. And at this point, they begin to, maybe to get a little bit of the picture that he's talking about leaving. When he's talking about carry on the ministry after he's been put to death, they're beginning to get a little concerned. You know, throughout his ministry, the Gospel of John shows Jesus in kind of a path. It's a journey. And he's trying to prepare them along the way for his eventual arrest and crucifixion. He's trying to lead them up to it. And now in this intimate final conversation, he alludes not only to his quickly approaching death, and he also mentions, by the way, you're going to be persecuted as my followers, by the way, just be ready for that. But he also speaks about their future ministries. Here's some things that y'all are going to do. And I would imagine as all this is kind of unfolding, the disciples are sitting there with this blank look, most of them like, what is he trying to say? What's going on here? What is he really trying to say to us? Well, during his ministry, the disciples had that look a lot. Like, what's he trying to say? What's going on here? What's really happening? And there were times when they had been put in places where they were confused. They had been given a sudden turn of events all of a sudden that maybe left them a little bit confused or disoriented, or maybe something that Jesus said, which was completely unexpected. And they're left trying to sort it out. And usually when those things happened, you can tell that they were a little bit thrown or a little bit confused by the nature of their questions. Let me give you an example. In John chapter 6, verse 66, Jesus claims to be the living bread. And when that happens, a lot of the people that were following him fell away. But the 12 stayed put. They stayed put, but they had some questions for him. And so we know from that they were trying to piece all these things together. There's another situation in John chapter 12. This is the situation where Mary comes and she's anointing, in effect, she's anointing Jesus for his death. But the disciples don't get that. Instead, they accuse her of wasting what is in effect a year's salary on perfume. And we talked about this in the morning, say the 9 o'clock service, and one of the ladies was quick to point out to me afterwards, yeah, but Mary got it. It was the men that were dense. You know, Mary understood what she was doing. It's the guys that didn't get what was going on. And to a certain extent, that's true. You know, sometimes the people around Jesus, some got it, some didn't. And they're all trying to work through this. But in each of these situations that occurred, Jesus was there to lead them through it. To help them understand, to teach them through those circumstances. But this time he's saying, I'm not going to be there. Jesus knew that once he had been crucified, the disciples would probably be tempted or led into a way of thinking that they had made a mistake in following him. Perhaps the religious leaders would come to them and say, guys, look, okay, all right, you're good fellows, you're good contributing members of society. Here's what you do. You just say that he tricked you. You just say he tricked you and denounce everything that you've testified to this point, and we'll let it go. We'll just let it go. We'll just let it slide from here on. That was one scenario that easily could have happened. And so Jesus is not saying, well, you know, just carry on. After I'm gone, just kind of carry on. No, he said, I'm sending someone. I'm sending the Spirit that will come to lead and to guide you. Not only that, but it's the Spirit of truth that will come to guide you, to lead you. Because in the past, Jesus has led his friends to a greater understanding of God's love and God's purpose. Now the Spirit is coming. And the Spirit will lead them forward in the one thing that Jesus could not lead them in and lead them through, and that's his death. So as we come to the scripture reading this morning, what the disciples have yet to learn is that Jesus is not just speaking about true things. Jesus was the truth about how God is present in this world. And that truth must always include the way of God in Christ dying and rising again. But if Jesus not only speaks the truth, but is the truth, what does it mean for the truth to be put to death? Have you ever considered that? Can death really kill truth? Think about that for a little while. While you're thinking about that, we're going to read the passage for this morning. It's John chapter 16. I invite you to turn with me if you haven't already. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. And again, Jesus has already been instructing a lot. This is kind of in the middle of all that's going on with his speech to them and praying for them. And he's talking now about the work of the Holy Spirit. It begins in verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. You see, understand that the Gospel of John makes it clear that something unusually powerful was going on with Jesus' ministry. Thousands of people were being healed and brought into community. Hopes were being raised probably unlike any time in human history. You talk about generating a buzz. That's what happened. Everywhere you went, the crowds were excited to see Jesus coming. They knew something exciting was going to happen. And given all of this circumstances, there's a temptation when you look at the life of Christ and as you look at his crucifixion, you say, well, that must have been a mistake. That was a wrong turn. That was something that got out of control. That was something that probably could have been averted and should have been averted. That's the temptation for us with earthly eyes. But at least for the Gospel of John, as he records the life of Jesus and he records the crucifixion, it's a certain destination for Jesus. We see that all through his Gospel. Certain because being the truth of God in the world guaranteed that in the end, he would make himself vulnerable before all of those people whose power was threatened by truth and called into question by God's love. He made himself vulnerable. And in that very vulnerability, he unmasked the true character of Rome and the religious establishment of that day. So to go back and answer our question, can death kill truth? No, it cannot. Death cannot kill truth. Rather, for John, Jesus is the way and the life. Jesus is the truth. The Gospel of John, we think, was written about the year 90 AD, about 20 years after the destruction of the temple, and in kind of a lull between Jewish uprisings. You know, periodically the Jews would get excited and they would have kind of a political upsurge, or politio-social type of upsurge, political speaking. And they would rise up against Rome. And this, we think John was kind of written in the lull between a couple of those uprisings. So what if John, in writing his gospel, what if he's asking the disciples to understand that truth must deal with crucifixion if it's to ultimately and nonviolently confront the lies of the world? We've got to deal with the crucifixion. That's a far more alarming proposition than dying for something winnable or something that's victorious in a political or in a cultural sense, isn't it? It means that the work is incomplete. It means it comes back to us to help complete it. The vision isn't fulfilled. The promise lingers for us and all generations that come after us. So perhaps the writer of the Gospel of John is reminding us, through the bewilderment of the disciples, to trust the Spirit even in the face of what seems to annihilate our gains and bury our hopes. Jesus' message is that he's going to die. That's what he's telling them. He said, I'm going to die. I can't lead you through this particular crisis, but the Spirit will lead you forward. So truth's triumph may not be triumph in the worldly sense. It may be triumph of grief over callousness. It may be triumph of honesty over avoidance, of confession over assurance. But he says the truth will lead us. The truth will lead us, and the Spirit of truth will lead us. And we will be propelled and pulled into a deeper understanding of God's love, and not only that, but creative ways that we can express God's love. You see, the gift of the Spirit will allow all disciples to make sense of Jesus' life and to keep moving forward after his death. For God's truth is always and ever unfinished business. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the fact that your Spirit has guided us in truth, that your Son instructed us and gave us a new outlook on how to live our lives, a life that doesn't fear death, a life that understands the context of physical death. And so as your children, we thank you for this gift, the gift of knowledge, the gift of the Holy Spirit that leads us in truth. Father, we pray that as confessing believers, that we would live up to this. And as the world looks on, that they would see that we truly do practice what we preach. We really do live our lives in a way that we say we believe. We know that's part of the unfinished business of truth. And we pray that you would give us strength for today and the days to come. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I'd love to share with you how you can have a relationship with him. He died for your sins. He died for mine. We're not perfect as believers. We're just forgiven. And in order to have that kind of forgiveness we've spoken of, we invite you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're going to stand in just a moment and sing. And if you're here and you don't have that kind of relationship, I'll be at the front here and I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We also open the invitation if you would like to come and pray. Maybe you haven't quite been living out, haven't been living in a way that demonstrates the nature of truth in your life, and you'd like to come pray here, we'll certainly invite you to do so. We may have some of our prayer warriors that will be coming as well, but you come and pray if you'd like to, or speak to me. I'll be glad to pray with you. If you're here and you would like to be a part of this fellowship by membership, I'd be glad to talk with you about how we receive members and talk with you about that. So whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Be sure and greet each other before you go. Look around you. If you see someone you don't recognize, be sure and greet them. Greet one another and worship and fellowship together during the course of this week as we serve out our faith. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the gift of life, the gift of life eternal. We thank you that we do have a chance to live out our faith in a group of believers that we know and that we love and that we want to encourage. Father, we thank you for the chance to worship today. Father, we pray that it would be demonstrated, the change that has been wrought in our spirit would be demonstrated in our actions this week. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.